Day 5. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Congratulations on thinking big and opening to your biggest, best self. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson. And I'd like you to take a pen and paper out and or your guidebook, and let's go ahead and fill in these three questions. I'll give you the questions, and then we're going to give you a few minutes to contemplate and answer. So the first one we started out with, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? Be honest. If you could absolutely know that you would succeed, what would it be that you'd be up to right now? And the second question, have your visions expanded? And the third question, are you feeling more confident and sure?
Thank you.
When thinking about playing big and living your full potential, you will be most effective in the areas of your personal commitment and passion. When I was about 30, I had a realization. I became aware that I could will myself to be a blessing on my environment. My actions have been guided by this awareness and power. I have been led to the most amazing places, to be with some of the most powerful players in the world. In 1996, Americans were living in a country where there was still tolerance for abuse of women and children. At the time, O.J. Simpson's trial was making headlines in all the news. The barrage of television coverage on multiple channels was playing out on the big screen like a reality TV show. The sheer audacity of the personalities involved with the trial had quickly become the all-American obsession. Given my troubled early life, I felt compelled to take a stand. From a heavy heart, I searched for the good that could come from this fiasco. The nation was being corralled together like a herd of cattle. From all parts of the nation, we were rounded up and held together in one tightly enclosed holding pen. We were focusing on our awareness, on what the lawyers and media skillfully directed our attention to. The trial's fodder was a petri dish filled with the emotional infection our country had long suffered from. The microscope television screen provided ample material with endless hours of spotlight coverage. The media dominated all other areas usually covered by national and international news. More than 80% of the news-related coverage found some way to reference back to the O.J. trial. We were literally forced to look at our social pain as a gaping, infected wound. America was founded on justice. The wound that weakened this great nation was the tolerance of abuse against women and children. The trial itself was a distraction. I felt like a three-ring circus, but it did have one very positive thing going for it. The trial of O.J. Simpson drew attention of all Americans to a problem that was in great need for a big, big healing. We were a nation in trance. Many of us were ready for a big shift in public policy on this issue. The actions that occurred following the trial reshaped our country and our laws. Today, we live in a safer, kinder place. So you can see, even when something looks chaotic or looks like it can't possibly be in the right order, it's doing exactly what it needs to do for us who are spiritual leaders, who have a calling, a divine calling. We can make a shift. We can go, oh, look, it's calling attention to everybody to this problem. One troubling day, I sat down at my very first computer, which had been introduced to me by my friend Jacques Lesseau. I had not used a keyboard to type since the secretarial classes I had resisted in high school. These are the details of my humble and passionate role in this change. I composed a cover letter and a proposal for healing the wounds of our country and the large portion of women who fell into the unrepresented category of survivors at that time. I briefly recounted my days with three small children spent in a woman's shelter, anonymously protected from the violence of my young married life. With courage and conviction, I mailed the letter and proposal that week. I had to ask around to know how to properly address the letter and to get the correct address. President Bill Clinton received my letter within days of me sending it off. Within 2 weeks, a miracle happened. A green letter, a green envelope arrived from the White House. Oh my God. The contents of the letter I had sent to Bill Clinton included a 3-page proposal of actions I felt were necessary for causing change across the country. I was so committed to being a force for change and assisting our nation in healing the wounds of violence and disrespect for women and children in our society. To be that force for change meant I must go to the top. I needed to have my voice heard by the person who could change this, and I knew that from some early training I got with Werner Erhard in my EST training. I had learned that the communication method of speaking only to the person who had the power to affect change was the most effective. It was a very valuable lesson that has served me so well through the years. I felt the key action steps in my proposal were necessary to effect the change of our country so desperately needed. I believed that President would receive and read my letter. I felt strongly moved to act. President Bill Clinton had sent me a reply. Oh my God! He asked me to contact the congresswoman he had appointed to head up the committee. I immediately wrote a 9-page proposal and sent it off the next day. About 12 weeks later, I received a 3-page letter thanking me for my contribution. They had taken my letter to committee and had virtually used all of my ideas. Those ideas ranged from billboard ads, TV commercials, and educational services in schools to recovery and rehabilitation programs. I saw my vision in a very real and tangible way move into America like a wildfire of reform riding on the wave of love. All right, take out that piece of paper or your guidebook, and I want you to get writing now. When you are dreaming big, do you immediately come up with all the reasons something might not work out? Second question, do you talk yourself out of your dreams because someone close to you might feel threatened by your bigness? And then the third question to address, are you playing big enough? So let's take 5 minutes here. These are very, very important questions. When you are dreaming big, do you immediately come up with all the reasons something might not work out? Do you talk yourself out of your dreams because someone close to you might feel threatened by your bigness? And are you playing big enough? Thank you. All right, welcome back, everyone. And it's time to review the homework you have in front of you. So first of all, same practice every day. Increase your energy with a fresh gratitude list. 5 things today, in this moment, that you're grateful for. Practice your meditation CD. Do your mock-ups. Then come back after you've done your meditation CD. And I'd like you to write your notes to yourself and chart your progress. What I saw during my abundance meditation practice, what I felt, what I realized, what I generated. Note any changes or results from your mock-up meditation, 1, 2, and 3. And I really want you this time to notice any changes in yourself. So we're getting into the point where you're going to actually be noticing that your nervous system is calmer. You might feel more resolved. You might feel more deserving or capable. Something is shifting in you. I want you to just make a note of it, even if it's just small. Something is changing. You're feeling more optimistic. He who trims himself to suit everyone else will soon whittle himself away. Raymond Hull. All right, my dears, we're going to end with a blessing, as we always do, and then you can get to your homework. May it be with the blessings of the Supreme Being that whatever happens in this grand 21-day abundance program be a benefit and joy to you, your lifestyle, and for the ones you love. May the entire world be filled with health, vitality, abundance, joy, and peace. Amen. Blessings and light for your day of transformation. Yahoo! Ha 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 ha!